The following is an unrehearsed interview with United States Senator Chuck Grassley speaking to you from Washington, D.C. Participating in today's public affairs program are A.J. Taylor of KIOW Radio in Forest City and Jason Legis of the Muscatine Journal. The first question will come from KIOW's A.J.
Greetings, Senator Grassley.
And greetings to you, too.
I am curious about this latest legislation that you've put forth. You had Ron Wyden, the Democrat from Oregon, actually co-sponsor this, having to do with transparency in Medicare and Medicaid.
Yeah.
Could you elaborate more on what that program is about?
Yes. There was a 19... Well, first of all, let me explain what we're trying to accomplish. We believe that transparency brings accountability. And if we know what doctors get from Medicare and Medicaid, that we're going to take some of the fraud and mismanagement abuse out of it and save the taxpayers money, and maybe even get people to go to doctors where procedures are cheaper or visits are cheaper than someplace else. So what we're trying to do is a little bit like the Environmental Working Group does when it says that Farmer Brown, it shows up on the website that he got so much money from the farm program. In other words, this is the expenditure of taxpayers' money. You ought to know where it goes. Well, doctors don't like this, and there was a court decision back in 1979 that said that this information didn't have to be made public, even though for farmers it is public, as an example. So what we're trying to do is get this on the website of the Center for Medicare Services so that we know how much Dr. X is being paid by the government and the same way that other people, it's a public record of how much money you get when you're receiving taxpayers' money. Jason?
Yes, kind of a follow-up question to that. How do you say that that sort of legislation might have an influence on how the Affordable Care Act is administered, so to speak?
Yeah. I think that, well, first of all, it wouldn't affect what doctors get from private health insurance and stuff like that. So I'd have to say it affects more Medicare dollars than anything else. It might have an impact on others. But here's where Obamacare, in an indirect way, tries to accomplish what we want to accomplish. It provides that hospitals and doctors have to list on the website what they charge for this procedure, that procedure, what it costs to stay in the hospital, what an aspirin would cost in the hospital, things of that nature. Because there again, you're trying to make the marketplace work so that people can be educated consumers of health care, like they are, can be an educated consumer of anything else. And, you know, a perfect example of where you probably get prices being listed that makes it most competitive is in filling stations as an example. It's right there on the sign for you to see. Now, we aren't going to have hospitals have signs like that outside their hospital, but that information has to be available for it. So it's not saying how much the hospital gets from Medicare or anything else, but it educates the consumer. Back to AJ.
Well, changing direction just a little bit, I noticed that you were having a little bit of problems with regards to the wind energy tax provisions. You did get some supporters involved in that. Can you tell us a little bit about the amendment that you filed that you had a lot of people suddenly jump on the bandwagon and say this was a good idea?
Yeah. Well, it should have been included in the chairman's mark. Some Republicans objected, so it was left out, but we talked the chairman into putting it into his modified mark. And so by it being in the modified mark, I had to file an amendment to get that done, but I didn't actually have to offer my amendment because it was in the underlying bill. Then Senator Toomey is against wind energy, and he offered an amendment to strike it. He spoke for his amendment. I spoke against it, and I won 18-6. So wind, what it'll do is continue for 2 years, what's been the law for the last 2 years, or the principle that's been in place since I first got the wind energy tax credit passed in 1992. Jason?
Kind of a two-pronged answer here. What's the significance of wanting to being able to extend that tax credit for another 2 years? And also, what would you say would be the importance of wind energy to Iowa here as a state?
Sure. The first part of your question is extend it until it's a mature industry. It's just about mature. Maybe another 3 or 4 years, I don't think there'll be need to have a tax credit. Just like there used to be a tax credit for ethanol, and ethanol's getting along now without the tax credit. But biodiesel is tax credits, and the industry's only been around 5 or 6 years, so we'll probably have a biodiesel tax credit for a few more years before it gets to be a mature industry. So whenever it's mature, it goes away, and I think that's pretty soon. The other thing is quantifying your answer. In Iowa, 27.4% of the electricity burned in Iowa is generated by wind. It creates 7,000 jobs. Nationally, it's about 4% of the electricity is from wind, and about 85,000 jobs created nationally, and maybe about $105 billion of investment just since 2005. It's something that had brought jobs to Iowa from other parts of the country, but also from overseas. In Iowa, we have Siemens from Germany in 550 jobs in Fort Madison. We have, I can't pronounce the name of the company, but a Spanish company in West Branch. How many jobs? I don't know. We've got Arizona companies coming to Colorado. And we've got two companies in Newton that are, all of these are making components. So we got manufacturing jobs, installation jobs, and maintenance jobs. And we've got community colleges educating people how to maintain wind energy, as an example. AJ?
In a congressional review that you wrote, there was a comment you made about non-disclosure agreements, which is basically the Obama administration forcing employees to sign these pledges of secrecy. Give us a look at what the impact of this is right now as far as locally and nationally is concerned, as far as federal agencies and things like that are concerned.
I think your answer is pretty much nationally. I don't know why I can give a local flavor to it. And by the way, I just recorded a YouTube that you'll be able to hear me on this, but I'll answer your question now as well. And that is that I got a bill passed last year saying that when an agency makes an employee sign a non-disclosure statement, that they have to have in there that that non-disclosure does not keep them from reporting waste, fraud, abuse, or any other violation of law to Congress or to the Inspector General of the department. We sent a letter around to all the cabinet levels, and we found that only one department, Treasury, had included that in their non-disclosure statement. So they're the only one fully abiding by the new law. Then we had 9 departments that maybe made a partial attempt to abide by the law, and we had 2 or 3 departments didn't even answer our letter. So now we're writing to the Office of Special Counsel. That's the people that defend, or no, the Office of Personnel Management that puts out certifications. I was right the first time. Office of Special Counsel that certifies that various departments are abiding by the personnel laws that Congress passes. And so those that aren't abiding by it, we expect the Office of Special Counsel to make sure that these non-disclosure statements have that statement in them that they can report to Congress. Let's see. I've run out of time, so thank you, Al, AJ, and Jason, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.